We now know more about that biz jet forced down in Iran. Could an unfriendly labor market drive Boeing to leave the Pacific Northwest? And Mesa reaches a new contract agreement with its pilots union. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 9th, 2008. The Associated Press is now confirming the plane forced down 2 weeks ago by Iranian jets was a Hungarian civilian business jet carrying officials from a military delegation and not a U.S. aircraft, as Iran had claimed earlier. The chartered Hawker 800 reportedly strayed into Iranian airspace September 30th due to what officials later termed an administrative error. The passengers on board were part of a Hungarian team that took over administrative control of Kabul International Airport in Afghanistan earlier this month. The Hungarian Defense Ministry said, quote, after clearing up the problem, the airplane was able to continue its journey to Afghanistan, unquote. Iranian media had initially reported the incident involved an American aircraft flying five military officials and three civilians from Turkey to Afghanistan. Boeing is either pursuing an extremely aggressive tactic to bring its striking employees back to the table, or actually considering what in the Pacific Northwest would be the unthinkable. Having already moved its corporate headquarters to Chicago a few years ago, Boeing officials are now openly talking about the possibility they could move aircraft assembly to Alabama or elsewhere. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that former Boeing chairman Frank Schrantz warned the Seattle Chamber of Commerce in 1991 that a new airliner built in the Southeast could be 30 to 40% less costly than one built in Washington State. Quote, could Puget Sound turn into an aerospace rust belt of the 21st century, complete with padlocked factories, unemployment lines, and urban blight? It certainly could, unquote. This past Tuesday, Boeing VP of Government and Community Relations Fred Kiga referred to those Rust Belt remarks before a meeting of the Aerospace Futures Alliance of Washington. He said labor unrest could cause the company to revisit the idea of moving production elsewhere. Quote, we can't afford to become known as the strike zone. It's ironic that I'm speaking at a conference entitled Cleared for Takeoff, when at the moment we are grounded, unquote. A strike by 27,000 members of the International Association of Machinists is in its fifth week, idling five plants and causing Boeing to lose an estimated $100 million a month. Kiga's remarks came shortly after Washington Governor Christine Gregoire had addressed the same audience. It followed by just one day an email from CEO Jim McNerney to employees, which said, in part, quote, union leadership has recommended that its members reject contract offers and go on strike, four of the last five negotiations going back to 1995. While we've disappointed customers for other reasons in recent years, too, we believe this track record of repeated union work stoppages is earning us a reputation as an unreliable supplier to our customers, who ultimately provide job security by buying our airplanes, unquote. The union and company are at an apparent impasse over outsourcing. No new talks are even scheduled, and the Engineers Union now is warning it may strike over the same issue when its contract expires December 1st. Mesa Air Group reports a more positive development on the labor front, a tentative agreement with its pilots after only 10 months of negotiations. Mesa CEO Jonathan Ornstein says, quote, we are proud to have come to a mutually beneficial agreement with the pilot leadership that will help retain and attract the highest caliber of professional airline pilots for years to come, unquote. Captain Kevin Wilson, chairman of the Airline Pilots Association unit at Mesa, calls it a new beginning. Quote, to be a successful, viable company in today's challenging marketplace, we recognized that we must put aside our differences and develop real-world solutions benefiting both the pilots and the company. We are pleased with management's willingness to engage us in earnest discussions throughout the negotiations process, and we hope that this spirit of cooperation continues so that we can focus on building a better airline together, unquote. A ratification vote is expected in mid-November. A de Havilland DHC-6 Twin Otter, carrying tourists from Germany, Australia, and Nepal, crashed on approach to land in foggy conditions near Mount Everest yesterday, claiming the lives of 18 passengers but apparently sparing the life of the pilot. The International Herald Tribune reports the Yeti Airlines plane, inbound from Nepal, snagged its main landing gear on a security fence on the perimeter of Lukla Airport, about 40 miles from the mountain. Witness Suraj Kunwar described a big bang, then flames. Quote, All the passengers waiting for planes ran to help douse the flames, but the passengers were already dead, unquote. The pilot apparently attempted to land with visibility of about a quarter mile. Yeti Airlines Executive Director Vijay Shrestha said the pilot was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Up next on ANN, Hawker Beechcraft closes NBAA with news of another sale. Cessna says it will reach full production on the Mustang this month. And you can soon learn to use L3's Smart Deck on your desktop computer. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 9th. I'm Paul Plack. The annual NBAA show officially ended in Orlando last night. While the current economic climate prevented enormous sales like those seen last year, some buyers apparently still have the liquidity to get a deal done. HBC announced on Tuesday that Leiter Signatures SA, a Brazilian company, has ordered 23 aircraft which span the Hawker Beechcraft product line. Leiter is a Hawker Beechcraft dealer and authorized service center since 1996. The company's order has a value estimated at nearly $200 million and includes three Hawker 4000, two Hawker 900XP, three Hawker 750, five just-announced Hawker 450XP, one Beechcraft King Air B200GT, four King Air C90 GTIs, two Beechcraft Baron G58, and three Beechcraft Bonanza G36 aircraft. Deliveries are scheduled from 2009 through 2011. Cessna announced at NBAA it will achieve its planned full-rate production level on the Citation Mustang sometime this month. That means Cessna will average three Mustangs a week from its plant in Independence, Kansas. At that full rate, employees on the Mustang line are scheduled to deliver 150 entry-level business jets per year, starting in 2009. Ron Alberti, Cessna Senior VP for Integrated Supply Chain, says the quantity is being matched by quality. Quote, "We've really pioneered integration of the Textron production system based on well-known lean principles, resulting in high-quality and efficient production. It's fairly common now for us to deliver a squawk-free airplane," unquote. The Citation Mustang fleet totals about 115 aircraft that have accumulated more than 19,000 flight hours. The high timer of the bunch so far has logged more than 500 hours. The sixth-place Mustang has a top speed of 340 knots, a range of 1,150 nautical miles, and a service ceiling of 41,000 feet. L3 Avionics Systems announced this week at NBAA the development of a Smart Deck computer-based training program to be available in early 2009. The program will enable new Smart Deck system pilots to familiarize themselves with the system's numerous features and benefits before making their initial flights. The software was developed by Pegasus Interactive, a leading provider of aviation training software. Larry Riddle, VP of Business Development for L3, says the software also incorporates proven e-learning techniques. The scenario-based guided simulation claims higher retention rates than other electronic training formats. Pilots first go through narrated demonstrations, then apply the concepts on a virtual smart deck system. Training modules are divided by the different phases of flight, and the software tracks progress. More than 70 topics are covered. The software is distributed on DVD and is based on the actual Smart Deck System's FAA-certified software. French jetmaker Dassault Falcon and Jeppesen signed an agreement Tuesday at NBAA that calls for Jeppesen to develop new performance software and services to be incorporated into electronic flight bags in the Falcon family of business jets. Jeppesen says the new programming will simplify pre-flight calculations regarding takeoff and landing. The software is programmed to run on any PC or EFB that runs Windows. Dassault will be responsible for computation models and updated performance information. Jeppesen will provide and update airport information, including runway parameters and obstacle data. The new tools and services are scheduled to be available as an option to new and existing Falcon customers later this year. Still ahead, the world's first business aircraft was on display at NBAA. Boeing announces a new light attack reconnaissance helicopter, and a conference on VLJs in Latin America comes to Miami. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 9th. I'm Paul Plack. The newest addition to Wright B Flyer Incorporated's fleet of historic look-alike aircraft made its public debut Tuesday at NBAA. Amanda Wright Lane, who is the great-grandniece of aviation pioneers Orville and Wilbur Wright and trustee of Wright B Flyer Incorporated, was on hand to talk about the new flyer dubbed the Silver Bird, nicknamed for its metal skeleton. The roughly 7/8 scale aircraft was on static display inside the Orange County Convention Center. Lane noted, quote, "This was the plane that really introduced the country to aviation. It not only circled the Statue of Liberty, but was flown at air shows across the country and gave people their first glimpse of what was possible with aviation," unquote. 33 volunteers, ranging from ages 11 into their 90s, worked to build the Silver Bird for over a year. NBAA contributed to the shipping costs and provided floor space for the display. The Wright B model was the first one Orville and Wilbur produced in quantity, with more than 100 built from 1910 on. The Silver Bird is a flyable airplane that can be shipped anywhere in the world for exhibitions. It's expected to make its first test flight in early 2009. If it seems odd that the B should have been on display at NBAA, think again. Almost a century ago, it was flown at a series of exhibitions across the country in part to attract buyers. That's kind of what NBAA is all about. And not all the newer airplanes you see at shows these days can even fly. Boeing announced a new rotorcraft program this week, the AH-6 Light Attack Reconnaissance Helicopter. Designed on a combat-proven platform with a heritage of successful service with special operations, the AH-6 is designed to meet the current requirements of international military customers while maintaining flexibility for future growth. Dave Palm, director of Boeing Rotorcraft Business Development, says of the machine, quote, "We believe this system is a perfect fit for those customers seeking long endurance, proven performance, and 2,000-pound payload within an affordable helicopter," unquote. The AH-6 is based on Boeing's MD-530 Defender and features an electro-optical infrared forward-looking sight system and a mount for weapons qualified on the aircraft. So far, those include Hellfire missiles, the M267 shot rocket pod, a machine gun, and a minigun integrated with a sensor system. Boeing will produce the AH-6 in Mesa, Arizona. NBAA is over, but it won't be Florida's last business aviation event this year. Next month, operators and interested customers will gather in Miami to brainstorm ways to spur on the very light jet industry and the growth of business aviation in general throughout Latin America. The second annual edition of this show, called Very Light Jets, Latin America and the Caribbean Conference, is scheduled November 10th and 11th. The show organizer, MIU Events, notes that there are more business jets and turboprops in Brazil than in any other single country outside the U.S. and Canada. As a region, Latin America and the Caribbean also operate more turboprops than either Europe or Asia. MIU says the region's notoriously poor roads are a factor driving business aviation growth. Quote, as the Latin American economies gain momentum and the boom in agriculture generates business in areas far removed from the big industrial centers, demand for aircraft is growing at a phenomenal pace. Conservative estimates predict the market for private jets in the region will grow at a 10% pace for the next 5 years. As the existing fleet of twins and turboprops comes up for renewal or replacement, the VLJ is going to look increasingly attractive to owner-operators and owner-pilots, unquote. Aero News will be there for the conference next month. Stay tuned for more information in the coming weeks. And finally, astronomers made a first-of-its-kind prediction earlier this week, discovering a new space object on a collision course with Earth just hours before the two paths converged. The discovery has given us some things to think about. The Associated Press quoted Harvard scientists who announced late Monday afternoon that asteroid 2008 TC3 was between 3 and 15 feet in diameter and would create a fireball visible on a west-to-east track at about 10:46 p.m. Eastern Time Monday night. That's shortly before dawn Tuesday morning in Africa. Donald Yeomans, manager of NASA's Near-Earth Object Program, says there are now 5,681 identified space objects which could potentially hit the Earth, 757 of which are large enough to cause damage on the surface. The notice on TC3 came so late because the space rock was so small and dark. Yeomans says rocks this size hit Earth's atmosphere about 2 or 3 times a year, usually with no warning. Harvard astronomer Tim Spar told AP, quote, if this were something larger and it was going to hit the ground, we would be able to get people out of the way, unquote. But assuming this capability has become reliable, we face some new questions. For example, after watching the gridlock which results from hurricane evacuation attempts, would you risk the panic which could be produced by a 24-hour notice of an asteroid impact? If an object is big enough to threaten an entire continent, where do you send the evacuees? If there was sufficient time to evacuate or even put your earthly affairs in order, would you rather be told or enjoy your last day on Earth anxiety-free? Now, if you'll excuse me, this has all gotten way too heavy. I think I'm going to arrange some lighthearted escapist entertainment. Maybe I'll rent Deep Impact on DVD. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, from a forum at NBAA, we'll hear comments on the state of the very light jet market from four guys running companies which build them. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.